Hello, men in the mirror. Welcome back to another Bible study. I'm Kyrie Pender, and I will be in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. And let me tell you something, I get so excited when I was able to read these verses and able to share this text with you on today. So from this text, we'll be talking about created to conquer if. Created to conquer if. And you may say created to conquer, but then you give me an if. Don't worry, I have those for you as well. You're created to conquer if you know these three things: your purpose, your position, and your persuasion. And in these verses, we will dissect it and find out what is it that we're exactly talking about, created to conquer if. But let me ask you a question. What if I told you that you possess something that will allow you to win and always have favor on your side? Maybe that may not be good enough. What if I told you that you don't have to do much to obtain it? A little closer. What if I told you that it's already resided in you and you will never be defeated? Here's the big idea. When you're in the right hand, you're in the right hand. Let's get into the verse. Verse 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's our first box today. It's your purpose. And what is the purpose? Let's just talk about it. As we begin to look at the purpose, a purpose is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. So just in that alone, we know that you have a purpose. You are existing on earth right now. You're watching this Bible study. You're living life right now. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. And what is our purpose? It really feeds us to what we're doing as far as being created. A lot of people get thrown off or get frustrated because they don't feel as though that they're operating in their purpose. Or let's just be honest, man, I even went through a time through life where I questioned and said, do I even have a purpose? Am I here? What is my purpose? What is it that I need to do? And then I found myself substituting my existing purpose for something that wasn't really for me. And I found myself even more frustrated. Let me tell you this and ease your mind. You'll know when you're operating in purpose because the frustrations will be so limited, so low. You wouldn't feel incomplete. And if you're not fully moving in your purpose, it'll be something always telling you, listen, I just feel like it's something I need to do. And it'll drive you more towards it. But when something has a purpose, it's there for existence to fulfill a need that it's created for. You are here to fulfill a need that you're created for. And let me tell you something. Your purpose is so powerful that it's connected to other people and that they won't be able to be released until you start operating in your purpose. People are waiting on you to fully operate in what it is that you're called to do. Your purpose, it tells us in the verse, and we know that all things work together to the good for those who love God. When your purpose and you're lined up, all things work together. They work together for the good. And let me tell you something. Have you ever ventured out and faced something that may have been something sort of a giant up to you? Maybe a job field or maybe a next step or maybe a move in and doing something, but you felt like you were defeated and you felt like, you know what? Nah, I may not even be able to approach this because it's way out of my league. Well, let me tell you something. When you operating in purpose, none of those things will be able to cause you to look away or look down and say, you know what? I can't do this. This is not for me. I need to do something else, because purpose gives you a driving factor that gives you some type of energy that's inside of you that'll give you the charge to just go, go, and go. I'm telling you, as you're operating in it, verse 28 tells us, and we know, and that's the main part, that all things work together. And it says this, for those who called according to his purpose, you're called, you're existing, you're living, you have a purpose. So those things will fall in line for you, and you have to understand and know it. You have to make sure that you're falling in line with purpose, because it makes you able and capable to dominate whatever you're faced with. Your purpose helps you drive line, because you know what? Purpose will not let you fail. Purpose will keep you going. It'll always give you an edge to say, you know what? I can't stop. I have to keep going. But in this, as Paul is directing us and showing us, in these scriptures is really gathering us together. We have to know before we can even move and conquer something that you got a purpose. So many people won't move or even begin to approach things because they feel like they don't even have the purpose to do it. They don't know where to start, how to start, who to talk to, who to be connected with, and they don't even know how to operate. But let me tell you something. Once you begin to start operating in your purpose, those things will begin to help you build to know that you can conquer things if. Here we are conquering some things. And I have a question for you that I would like to ask. The question is this: what are some fears that make you feel like that you can't conquer your purpose? What are some things? We can talk about it, we can examine it, and we can look at it. But men, I want you to take some time right now and really focus and reflect. What are some things? What are some fears that you have? And let's just be honest. I don't know if you're watching this with somebody, you may be by yourself, that you can freely talk about it. What are some fears that say, you know what? I don't really think I can conquer it. I don't really think that I can do it. I don't know if my purpose is in line. I just don't know. That's something that I want you to really think and take some time and reflect about it, men. That's what I want you to think about. So we know that we have a purpose, and we found that in verse 28. And after all, our big idea is when you are in the right hand, you are in the right hand. What do you mean? Let's go to verse 34, and that's when we'll talk about position. What is position? A position is a particular way in which someone or something is placed or arranged. Someone, something, or is placed or arranged. Let me tell you something. It's not by happen chance, wherever you may be in the United States or in the world watching this Bible study, that you're placed there strategically in your position. And one thing about your position, when you're in your position, it's for you to be in that place and cover a certain amount of area to make sure you protect whatever it may be. Let's just think about sports. You can think about baseball if you're a shortstop on the outfield. We can talk about football if you're a center or a wide receiver. We can talk about basketball if you're a power forward or a shooting guard. They're all positions and they cover their grounds. Well, let's go to verse 34. As we look at verse 34, it says this to us. Who is he who condemns? Great question. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who is he that condemns? Listen, let me tell you something. You can't condemn. You cannot get me or lock me in. I am in my position. Let's talk about that placement. Let's talk about that position. So we know that we have our purpose. And then now we in verse 34 is talking about our position. Our placement or position, if you will, is so important because we tend to feel defeated sometimes when we move from what is originally designated for us. So many times some of the feeling for that we come that we feel defeated and not conquerors is because we're moving from the position. Why are you moving from the position? You have to stay where you are and guard that area. And what are you saying that you're guarding? I'm guarding my future, my life, my spirit, my soul. I'm guarding so many things. And it's helping me on this journey to conquering things if. My position plays a major part. Our position ultimately protects us. And it tells us even Jesus is at the right hand. So like our big idea said, when you're at the right hand, you're at the right hand. When you're at the right hand, you're at the right hand. That right hand is talking about positioning. It's talking about being in place. And when we're in the right hand, that means we're in the right hand. What are we in the right hand for? The right hand for victory, for us to get the projected outcome that we want. So here's the caveat. Here's the kick. The great thing about this is, even if we don't get the designated outcome, because I say this, hey, I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna walk out with this, I'm gonna do this. And sometimes it don't really work like that, and I tend to get frustrated. But here's the great thing about being in the right hand, in the right hand, even when the outcome does not work out the way that we want it to work out, we still win. It asks us, who can condemn? We are in the right hand. My position is to be right there. My position will allow me to feel complete, not defeated. My position, I won't move for it because it's designated for me. My position is a placement and a position that's very important. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you don't belong here, that you don't belong there. You know that you have a purpose, and if you have a purpose, you have a placement. And if you know you have a placement, you have a purpose. It works either way. You have to know those things. If you are in place, that means you're there for a purpose. You have to understand and know. And guess what? When you have that purpose, it's lined up for you to have a placement. You have those things because when you're in the right hand, you're in the right hand. I have a question for you. Here's the question that I want to ask. It's simple. In a revolving world of multiple opportunities, what are some things that you depend on to keep your position secured? In a revolving world full of opportunities, what do you do to keep yourself secure in your position? There has to be something, and it's going to build on what we talk about next. But you have to understand, you can't get frustrated in your position. You can't get uncomfortable in your position. Even though those things may come, you just got to learn to adjust. You have to make it your own. You have to be there for it. It has to be there for you. It's your position. What do? You're there. I'm telling you, you have to cover that area. You have to stick in that area, and you have to be there. It's your position. It's your placement. Who can condemn? It is Christ who died and furthermore came back. He risen. And not only did he come back, he's interceding. So let me tell you something. Before you even face those trials, before you even face those results, he's already interceding for you and before you to make sure that those things happen the way that they need to. Even if it feels like you're not winning, even if it feels like it's not working your way, guess what? You're still making it through. So in a revolving world full of opportunities, all types of places and positions for you, how do you secure your placement? How do you secure your position? What keeps you grounded and rooted? What says, hey, no, I'm not going to move, not too early, not too quick, because I don't want to forfeit what's there before me. Our big idea told us, when you're in the right hand, you're in the right hand. So now that we're looking at that, it brings us to our third bubble, our third point, and it's simply talking about persuasion. And let me tell you something, we can go on and on about persuasion, but we'll keep it to a minimum. We know our time frame. Persuasion is this. It's a belief or just a set of beliefs. And what do? We tend sometimes to push our beliefs on other people. I try to push and persuade people all the time that mayonnaise is the worst condiment made to man. I try to persuade people, but my persuasion isn't that good. If they love it, they love it. I try to tell them that if you want a nice sandwich, you need spicy mustard on it. Persuade them that mayonnaise is not the way to go. But that's my belief. And I try to persuade people. But the thing is this, certain people are stuck in their way and say, you know what? You won't persuade me to that because I like it. And that's how we need to be. We have to be in that place. It says this in verse 38. It tells us this. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor power, nor things presented, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other created thing shall be able to, and I love that part, here's my favorite part, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No thing. Those things that Paul was referencing and what we are looking at touches everything. Not no life, not death. None of those things can pull us out. None of those things can separate us. But persuasion has to be at an all-time high. You have to make sure that your mind is locked in. You have to make sure that your mind is set upon what it is that you know and see. And if I'm going to conquer something, I can't get persuaded in the middle of my decision. I have to make sure that I'm stuck in my decision and that no matter what comes my way, it cannot persuade me. So what are some things that we may face when persuasion comes, when we're facing an opportunity? Doubt will whisper in your ear. Fear will give you a call. Distrust will send you a message. Shaking or not being ready, those things will be tapping on your shoulder. All those things will come with a certain message to try to persuade you to say, you know what? This is not the way to go. Don't do it. You don't want to fail. You don't want people to look at you. You don't want people to ask you what happened and you have to explain it. You don't want people to laugh at you. But let me tell you this. If you know that you are built and you have a purpose, you have a position and your persuasion is right, that's the lead way for you to say, you know what? I can conquer this. Men, do we walk around with the heads low saying, you know what? We're defeated. I'm not walking around like a conqueror. I'm walking around as a person that's defeated before I even get to it. No, what is persuasion? Let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to try to persuade you. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to try to tempt you in all shapes and sizes and advances. But you have to know that you won't be defeated by those things, whether it be monetary or thoughts or even family members that may come and try to scare you off and say, you know what? Don't even give it a try. But you have to know that you have to keep your mind fixed and stay there. He says it with confidence, for I am persuaded. I know that. It's my belief. I'm stuck on it. That no, not death nor life. And those are some of the most ultimate things at the top of the chain when we begin to look at those hierarchy of things that may say, you know what, that can ultimately push me away and make me scared of it. But I'm not persuaded. Death, life, angels, principalities or powers, things present or even things to come. Remember when we talked about it in the verse before that it said, you know what, in my position, he's interceding for me. It follows up and it grabs verse 38 and say, you know what, I'm persuaded because it shows me I'm not worried about the things to come because the intercession has already went before us. I'm sorry, guys, I'm getting so excited because the persuasion. It's easy to get persuaded. Let's just think about it. I'm telling you right now, 1.5 million to make me scratch my head right now and say, I don't know. The right type of temptation may come to try to persuade you away, but you have to know, I can't abort what I'm here for because I have a purpose. I have a position and I will not be persuaded because I am here to conquer. I was created to conquer. Men, I want to encourage you on today. You are created to conquer. And there's some things that you know within yourself that you put on that back shelf. You know that there's some things that you're looking at that you need to face again. And there's some things that you need to just approach. So I have a question for you. What persuades you to stay consistent with your choices in life? And I have a follow-up question. Are you easily persuaded? What persuades you to stay consistent with your choices in life? And are you easily persuaded? Men, are we living like the conquerors Paul described in this scripture? Or are we living like our feelings are creating us to go through this? Men, what are we living like today? We are here. You are created to conquer. And I encourage you today to go back to that bookshelf or that notebook that you wrote that plan down to. I encourage you to go back to that email. I encourage you to go back to those plans that you had already out that you thought were too big and that you couldn't conquer. I want to let you know that you were built to conquer. These verses told us, it explained to us. And guess what? Even if it don't come out to the desired outcome that we think it should come to, we still come out on top. The intercession is before us. You have a purpose that you need to fulfill. You are existing for a reason. You are here. You have a position. Your position is counting on you. And people are connected to that position. And they can't be released to fully move into what they need to until you walk into your purpose. And then you cannot be persuaded on the back end. That persuasion will not get you, no matter what it may be, life, death, principalities, angels, what's here now in the present, what's to come in the future. None of those things will be able to separate you because you're so connected. You're at the right hand. And if you're in the right hand, you're in the right hand. And that's what we're doing today, men. Men, I hope you're encouraged on the day, and we're just going to simply pray out, and I pray that you go back and look at those things. I pray that you're energized and you're ready to conquer what it is that's before you. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these mighty men. these mighty men who are listening right now. God, we ask that your word pricks their heart right now, God. We pray that, God, that they go back to those things that they dreamed about, those things that they felt like they were defeated, that they never gave a chance to, that they're there, that they have the points right now, God, to apply and say, you know what? I am created to conquer. I'm not created to fail. I'm not created to give up. I'm not created to second guess, but I am created to conquer. Why? Because I have a purpose. I have a position and I will not be persuaded. And I know that if I'm in the right hand, I'm in the right hand. And that even though it may not work out the way that I may not think, it's working out the way that God called according to it to be. And I'm not going to get frustrated and walk away and separate it myself, because I will not separate myself and none of these things will have the power to separate us. God, we pray today that your love and your kindness saturate the men right now, God, on today, and that they go out and they charge and get back to what it is that you call them to be. We thank you for everything that you've done, God, everything that you're going to do. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.